This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2022, held at Horizon Mennonite School in Hagerstown, Maryland, on March 4 and 5.
As I looked at the program, I wasn't sure what to expect, and then I was sitting in the back of the gym there when they raise of hands, and I guess I'll have to admit I was just a bit surprised at how many people chose this workshop. But the more I thought about it, as I sat there, relationships are incredibly important. And wherever you go, whatever you do, there's very little that we do that we're not relating to other people in some way. Even and during the summertime, I work at a pallet shop. I drove truck for him for 5 years full-time before I started teaching. And now in the summer, every summer I go back and I work in the trailer shop. He has over 100 trailers, and I work on the trailer doing trailer maintenance and plant maintenance as well. And most of the time I'm working by myself in the shop, but still I relate to the boss. He tells me what to do next and what the pressing issues are, what are the things that when I have time I should get to. There's hardly anything that we do that we're not relating to other people. And so I suppose that this, I should not have been surprised at the attendance to this workshop, because relationships are important. And the fact that we're dealing with people who, every one of us has a fallen nature, it provides challenges. And I appreciated what Mark had to say this morning in his topic there about evaluating. And it is very important that as a school, we do evaluate the working relationships that we have within the school. The committee told me that this is not to be necessarily a workshop about teachers relating to their students, although as a board, that should be part of your evaluation. You should be evaluating how, and this afternoon I'll have a workshop about evaluating your staff, so I'm not going to say much about that. I think the primary focus that the committee wanted here was evaluating the relationships between the team. And I want to look at it, I'm going to take it maybe a little bit broader. I want to look at evaluating the relationships between the board members themselves, and between the board and the patrons, and between the board and the staff, and yes, among the staff, because it's important. You need to be considering that as a board, that the team that you've hired, what sort of team is it? What are the relationships there? Is there anything that's causing stress that needs some attention? As you already know, my name is Linford Burkholder. I teach at Hope Christian School, been teaching there. This is my 13th year, I enjoy it. It's just very rewarding. Before that, I served on a board at Lebanon Valley Christian School for 5 years, and I enjoyed that as well. School, I've enjoyed it as a student. I enjoy it as a patron before I was on the board. School is just, learning is fun, and I hope that you came to CASB to learn and that you enjoy learning. So let's think about relationships a little bit. And there sits my chairman, and he's an electrician by trade, so I'm probably going to make a fool out of myself, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. I want to think about electrical circuits. In electrical circuits, there's three things that you have to have. You have to have a power source, whether it's a battery or a generator. Some solar panel could be, you have to have a power source. You have to have a conductor that carries the electricity to the third part, the load, that does what you want it to do. I just drew some simple light, simple for a light bulb in there. It could be anything, it could be electric motor, whatever. Relationships differ. Some relationships are more like a series circuit where the power flows from one thing to another. This might represent the relationship. How many of you have are part of a church school? All right, most of you. Any of you a patron-run school? All right? I figured there might be a few. So most of us, by far, are church schools. So before we get into these different loads in this thing, in your organization, your school, what is the power source? Where does the energy come from? You never thought about that? You should. Yeah.
On the student level or the
admin? I'm talking about the whole organization. Where's the energy for this organization? Where's it coming from?
Yes.
Parents?
You think it's coming from the parents? Okay. Can you explain that? Why do you say that?
Well, first is where the children come from. It's usually when the dynamic of the school is made down to board members. Maybe also the financial contribution.
Okay.
From the Brotherhood.
From the Brotherhood. Can you explain your answer?
The interest from the Brotherhood motivates starting school, and we've seen a lot of interest in what's going on in school, but also on the collection. We take the collection, see the interest there. It just seems like everybody works together when there's something needs to be done. It's not hard to get somebody to help do it. That's the fruit of all it. I mean, not really the root of the evidence I've seen.
Okay. If the energy for your school is coming from your teachers, you don't have a very good school. You don't have a very good organization. You know what happens in situations like that? The teachers get fatigued because they are just pouring out of themselves, and their bucket's only so big. There has to be more energy. I appreciate the brothers back here saying that it is the whole community. The energy for this school has to come from the whole community. And that, of course, includes the parents, certainly. They're part of that. So this energy is from the whole community, and it pours out. And some of the relationships, I'm sure that in your school documents, at least I hope so, you have something, or if it's not written down, at least it's understood that there is a chain of command. And this relationship, not everybody has the same responsibility. Not everybody has the same authority. And so things flow down through from the Brotherhood itself to the board. Because where does the board come from? It comes from the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood selects the board. The board hires the teachers. And from there it goes to the students. And I'm not sure, that maybe doesn't, you know, where are the patrons? Well, they're in there, but you may have some outside patrons too, so maybe it's kind of a combination of a series and a parallel circuit. Here's a parallel circuit where the energy flows all the way down the line, and you have, this might represent your individual families in it. And so in some respects, the patrons as a group would be more like this sort of a circuit where the energy flows equally to one of them. And you know, sometimes probably in every organization, probably in your school, you can think of patron families that maybe are not quite with the program. The light's not quite burning as brightly. They're a little more disconnected. And we want to think about, and I don't expect this, they told me this is not to be a lecture. It's a workshop. So I want your input. I want your feedback. We've got to think this thing through together, what we can do. So sometimes with a circuit, it's not working. Something's wrong. These lights aren't shining. Now, Mark said something about evaluating, the vision and the communication. Sometimes the circuit gets broken. And You know, the board might have an idea of what they want, but they didn't communicate it to the staff clearly enough. And the staff doesn't know, well, what are we supposed to do with this? How's this going to work? And so you got to think about communication. How does, when I was on the board at Lebanon Valley, the administrator was very good at managing, and he would sit there in the board meetings and he would listen to the board discussing things. We'd make a decision and he would say, and how are you going to communicate this to the patrons? When? Who's going to do it? It was good for us because too many times if we're not careful as a board, we would sit there and we'd make this decision, not think about, yeah, but how's it going to get out to the community? Is it going to just dribble out? Or are we going to, no, be intentional about it. Make sure that you're communicating well. So you can have, sometimes it's a problem with the power source itself. You know, you go out to your vehicle in the morning, you turn the key on, you get this. What's going on? Well, the battery's dead. And so we need to evaluate the relationships where if there is a problem, where is the problem? So this is about the tools for evaluating relationships. What are the tools? How are we going to evaluate the relationships between the board and the staff? Between the staff members themselves? What are some tools that we can use?
Do they feel comfortable speaking openly in front of each other about problems?
Okay, you're talking about like among the staff team.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Or even from the board to the staff as well.
Okay.
If something's not working right, can they actually get to the root of the problem and talk about it?
All right. That's a good thing to assess. Does the staff feel comfortable just sharing it with the board? What if they don't? What might be the problem?
Possibly intimidation.
All right.
Like if you have I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but kind of an overbearing member in the team, it can intimidate others not to, you know, want to express.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mistrust.
Pardon?
Mistrust.
Mistrust.
Not trusting someone.
Okay. All right. Some things to look for. Try to evaluate why isn't this working? Mistrust. So is the purpose just to evaluate? And then we say, well, now we diagnosed the problem. No, it's to go beyond that, right? Evaluating is great. That gives us a place to start from, but then how do we work on this? So if the board... The board can... especially for young lady teachers, they might be intimidated by the board sometimes. Hopefully, I don't think that's true at our school. I am blessed with a very good board, and I'm not just saying that because my chairman's sitting here. He knows. I told the staff yesterday afternoon when I left school, I said, have a great Friday and weekend. I said, I'll see you Monday. And they wondered... what my topics were, and I told them, and I told them, I said, you know what? I said, the chairman told me that all of the board members and all of the pastoral advisors were going to be here today. I said, that's the kind of board you're working for. And folks, I tell you what, getting involved in things like this, not just this, but with your teachers, develop a relationship with them so that you can properly evaluate. That means you're going to show up. I know. Like I said, I was on the board for 5 years. You have a job. I understand that. It takes time. You got to do it on purpose. You got to take the time to go in and visit school. Otherwise, you're going to hardly be able to evaluate. So with that in mind, I think that one of the things, God gave us two very handy tools that are always with us for evaluating relationships. God gave us eyes. That means you're going to have to be there. You're going to have to observe. How many of you enjoy observing people? All right. Most of us do. We're an interesting lot, aren't we? We come in all sizes and shapes, all temperaments. And then I told my wife when we sat down this morning, I said, one of the great things about coming to Casby is you get to see the Anabaptist potpourri. Yeah, we're all different. And then try to blend that all together. And it's just interesting to me to observe people. And just, I teach high school, and so it's interesting for me to just observe teenagers interacting with each other and how that all works out. And yeah, watch how people interact with each other. Watch how they respond to things. A young man in my classroom right now that's quite argumentative. I mean, it's just, yesterday he was going off about how only Walmart glasses don't scratch. And I was thinking, probably not. And some of the other fellows were around there too, and they just kind of smiled, and they said, well, he doesn't know very much, and they just kind of brushed it off. How do people respond to things like that? Are they right ready to jump in and fire back, and or are they just ready to sit back and say, well, that's an interesting concept, but I don't believe he's quite right. There's some information missing there. So God gave us two eyes. Now, if you're going to see the relationships among the staff, or the staff to the patrons, or even the staff to the students, be there. Be there. God also gave us two ears. Some of us, our ears don't work as well as others, but most of us have ears that at least do work. So you're going to evaluate relationships. I encourage you, listen to how people talk about other people. As a teacher, sometimes in the classroom, I have a personality. My students all have personalities. Some of my students and I, our personalities just mesh very nicely. Some of them, there's a little bit of, can be a confrontation there if I'm not careful. And so observe, listen to how people are talking about other people. You know, the people that rub us the wrong way are probably the people that are most like us. I've found that anyway. And so think about how, and yourself, evaluate yourself. How am I doing with this? The attitudes that we hold toward other people, and actually the attitude that we hold about ourselves, have a lot to do with how we respond to other people. And so use your ears to listen. What's going on here? Are we cutting each other's throats? Or are we building each other up? What sort of relationships are in this organization? There's another tool that we've been given to evaluate relationships. I don't know what your thought is about psychology. I'm really rather skeptical, because a lot of psychologists have been trained in humanism. There's a much better tool that we have for evaluating relationships. our Creator, who made us, said a lot in this volume about how we ought to relate to each other. And so when we run into trouble in relationships, and those conflicts will happen, where do we first go? Where do we first turn? We ought to be thinking about what are the principles in the Scripture that are being violated here. And I'm not saying that we can't learn anything from psychologists. There may be some things that we can learn, but if we're not people of the book, we're probably not going to get our relationships right. And so I'd like to spend a little bit of time thinking about some standards that the Bible has for relationships and evaluating relationships. And I'm going to use some examples. If you're your Bible, you may turn to Proverbs 26 for the first one. Proverbs 26, and you might be familiar with this verse. Verse 17 says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Now, if you have a dog at home that's your pet, you might be able to take it by the ears and kind of rough it around and get away with it. You do that to a strange dog, you're probably not going to fare so well. In relationships, in your organization, there are responsibilities that belong to the board, that are the board's, and it's not right for the patrons to try to tell the board what to do. It's not right for the teachers to tell the board what to do. It's not really the board's job either to tell the teacher exactly how to do everything in their classroom. We all have our sphere where we need to work in, and that's that. And it's not the parent's job either to tell the teacher what to do or how to do it. Can you imagine if you were a teacher? And some of you are. What it would be like if every one of your parents was the boss? That doesn't work. I mean, this year I'd have 14 different bosses. And they're not going to all agree. And by the way, brothers, it's not okay either for individual board members to try to tell the teachers what to do. That does not work. You need to speak collectively. And if there's an issue with a teacher, probably best if the chairman does it. Or they may designate somebody else, depending on what the situation is. But there needs to be communicated that this is from the board. This is not me personally. If you are making a suggestion personally to the staff, make sure that they know that this is not the board. This is just some of my own thoughts. Because what can happen is in relationships like this, if there's too much cross-feeding, if you will, it becomes very frustrating and the whole organization is going to be damaged. A number of years ago, we had a patron at our school that was very concerned about their child who was struggling in second grade, and they were trying to tell the teacher, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the next thing. And this teacher had taught for quite a few years already, knew what she was doing. She was good, not a lot of pizzazz, but good, rock solid, steady teacher. And she was getting distraught because these parents were just always harassing her, and that might be a little too putting pressure on her anyway, let's say it that way. And finally the board just had to step in and tell the parents, you know what, this teacher knows what she's doing. We appreciate the concern for your child's education, but you got to back off. What she does in the classroom is hers to do. And they respected that. They did it, and the relationship was fine. We each need to stay in our place. So evaluating relationships, part of evaluating relationships is looking, is everybody, I heard a three-step rule many years ago. Find your place, fill your place, and stay in your place. And you follow that three-step rule, you're going to have success. We each need to find our place. Know what is mine to do and what's not mine to do. the things that are not mine to do. I'm not going to grab onto something that's not mine. I'm going to get bit. All right? Find your place, fill your place, and stay in your place. Proverbs 13, a few chapters before this. Verse 10. I don't know. You ever think that sometimes the scripture says it too strongly? This verse says, only by pride cometh contention. You ever think about that? So if there's contention, there's a problem with pride. At least one of the parties is proud. You know, there was a lot of contention, a lot of strife between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. Are we going to say that Jesus was proud? No, Jesus was the shining example of humility. The problem was the religious leaders of his day were quite proud. They weren't willing to acknowledge that he was God, that he was the Messiah, that there was authority there. They didn't want to, they rejected his authority. They were arrogant. And it caused contention. So in evaluating relationships, when there's contention, maybe it's even at board meeting. I've sat in some board meetings like that. It's not fun. But if we just pause and say, wait, what's really going on here? Why do we have this contention? Where's the pride? Let's get rid of that, and the contention's going to go away. If we're not always going to agree, okay? And it's good that we don't, because we need, we just had a brothers meeting earlier this week at my home congregation, and I've been thinking about something, so I brought this topic up, and I said, I'd like to hear from the brothers what they have to say. And there was two or three brothers that spoke, and they thought of things that never once crossed my mind. And I realized, there's wisdom in that. We can disagree, but there's not a one of us that can think of everything. And so we need each other. And so keep that spirit of humility within yourself. And when there's strife between the patron and the staff member, think about that. Evaluate it. What's going on here? Does someone have some pride here that needs to be addressed? Right along with that, in Philippians 2, I spoke about Christ being the shining example of humility. In Philippians 2, you probably know these verses, where it talks about Christ, even though, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Back in verse 3, that was verses 5 through 8, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Do you personally, when you think of your fellow board members, do you see them as more valuable than yourself? That's not natural. Our fallen nature is to think of self. But do you value your fellow board members? Do you value every patron? I know some are more supportive of your program than others. Some homes are better than others, yes. But do you value each one? Do we have, because if we don't, you know, as a teacher in the classroom, I need to value every one of my students, even the ones who are more challenging to my authority. I need to value them, because they are a soul that matters to God. And if I don't value them, you think they're going to be able to smell that? Absolutely. So we're evaluating relationships. We need to have that value of others, esteem others highly than ourselves. What else do you have to say? Tools for evaluating relationships. Maybe you have a question about a certain situation.
Understanding each other's motives.
Pardon?
Understanding each other's motives.
Okay. All right.
And if I say something the way you hear it, you can run with it, but you stop and try to understand his motive behind it or his intent. It's a totally different
meaning. Good observation. Good observation. Just a couple weeks ago, there's a boy in my classroom who spent some time at a boys' camp. He's a foster boy. And we were checking spelling. And one of the spelling words was February. And he asked me, is it wrong if it's not capitalized? I said, yes. And it wasn't even his paper. It was his seatmate's paper that he was checking. He was just curious, how should he mark it? I said, yes, it's wrong. Well, but it's spelled right, it's just not capitalized. Why can't it be half wrong? I said, it's wrong. And he proceeded to try to argue with me again. I said, do you think by arguing you're going to change my mind? Well, then he quit. But we went out for recess playing volleyball lunch break, and something upset him on the volleyball court, and he lashed out at me. And I pulled him aside, and I said, this isn't about what happened on the volleyball court, is it? It's about what happened back in the classroom. And tried to work with him through it, and I went in, and I, after lunch break was over, and I WhatsApped his dad and told him a little bit about what happened. He said, I'll stop by after school. And this young man has had a very unfortunate past. His mom is a drug addict, and she cut off communication with him just a few weeks before that. She used to call him every week. And I suspected that, because getting angry over whether a spelling word is all wrong or half wrong is not worth getting that upset about. There was something else behind it. And oftentimes, when people, it may not be the actual thing at the very moment. That's just the finger that pulled the trigger. There's something else there. And when we're evaluating relations, we need to be understanding with that. That, wait, this doesn't line up. Why get so upset about whether spelling words half or whole wrong? That's not the issue. The issue is there's tremendous emotional pain there because of what's happening elsewhere in his life. And we need to be understanding about that when we're dealing with people, that there may be things that we're not aware of. Have the compassion of Christ. And that's one of the next things I wanted to talk about. And that, let's just go to that. 1 Corinthians 16:14. You know, there's all kinds of little things exposed that we, fingers that we could talk about. But in 1 Corinthians 16:14, the Apostle Paul, this nice little short statement, let all your things be done with charity. Well, there you have it. Let all your things be done with charity. In all your relationships, love. What is love? What's it mean?
Not puffed up.
That's a description of it.
Acting with the other person's best interest in mind.
There you go. Acting with the other person's best interest in mind.
Anyone else with a question or comment about relationships in the school?
I was going to mention, there's supposedly an Indian proverb says, don't judge someone until you walk a mile in his moccasins. I felt like that's what you were addressing with this young lad that you were mm-hmm. talking about. Oftentimes there's issues that are deeper than what we just see on the surface. Mm-hmm. And we tend to kind of want to focus on just that problem and miss the bigger picture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would. How many of you like confrontation? Nobody? Surprise. Not. You know, and because we don't really like confrontation, there is, am I right in this? That we have a tendency to pluck the leaves off of the plant rather than getting right down to the roots. And sometimes I think in evaluating relationships, we tend to deal with the stuff we can see rather than really finding out, sitting down with the person saying, really, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why do we have this struggle? What is going on? Can you just express yourself? And hearing them out, what do they have to say? And we may vehemently disagree with them. That's happened between the board and I sometimes. There have been times where I've vehemently disagreed with them. But it's my responsibility to submit to them. But at least if they can hear my side and I can hear theirs, and they are the board, and if I don't like it, if it bothers me bad enough, I guess I can go somewhere else. They've told me they don't want to see that happen. But at least if we can have an understanding where each other are, and that goes with the board and the patrons. That was one of my first years, one of the patrons thought that I was being way too difficult, way too stringent on the students getting back in their seats when break was over. Patrons meeting, each shared his concern with me. Okay, well, he was self-employed, could set his own schedule, could come and go when he wants to. That might work for you, but when we have a classroom of 20 people, that doesn't work. If we're going to get anything done, we have to, the bell rings, you got to be in your seat. But I listened to him, and okay, thank you for sharing. But sorry, that's not going to work. I'm going to continue. I hope that he felt that he was heard. And today we have a very good relationship. There's no animosity on my part toward him, and I don't think he toward me. Anyone else?
Sometimes we say that we don't like confrontation. A lot of people say they don't like drama, but then I wonder if confrontation is the opposite of drama. Because when we have a confrontation, there no longer is any drama. When it's a true, working, healthy confrontation, mm-hmm. it gets rid of all the backbiting and just the different talking behind each other's back.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, there is confrontation that I just had to confront two of my students. They were doing more communication than what's allowed in my classroom. I just, guys, stop it. This is not allowed. Those things have to be dealt with, yes. Or otherwise the framework that you've set for your school, if you're not going to follow it and people aren't going to, you should have never put it there in the first place, right? Either it means something or it doesn't. And so people aren't fulfilling their part, whatever. Yeah. Healthy confrontation. Yeah. Helps it. It's called accountability. Anyone else?
A question to go right along with that. How do you have healthy confrontation?
Okay.
I think we need a whole weekend for that.
We got 5 minutes. Let's bail it tight.
It's humility.
Humility. Yes. I don't have the reference for this. Maybe one of you brothers do. But there's Paul told I think it was Timothy or Titus, I don't remember which one, he said, rebuke not an elder, but what?
After the first or second.
Well, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Treat him as a father. I've been challenged by that. Brother Dwayne back there, he's a bishop. You ever have any of your brothers in your church confront you on something? He's nodding his head, sure enough.
Both ways.
Both ways. Unfortunately, right? But you know, there is something beautiful. I have some adult children now, and older teens. And I've had some of my older teens or adult children say, Dad, what about this? That's a healthy relationship. If they can come to me respectfully.
There is the required confrontation, the necessary confrontation. You can approach it with an attitude of escalation or de-escalation, and it goes a long way. If you're going to make a crisis out of this, it'll show in the first confrontation. If you're trying to de-escalate it and make it a working situation, that'll also show. So when there is a required confrontation, you can make it better or you can make it worse. Mm-hmm. And attitudes go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can we trust somebody? Can we have healthy confrontation if we don't trust each other?
My experience has been no. Would you concur? Ernie.
Sometimes when we're faced with difficulties, we want to be nice. And instead, we should be kind. Sometimes kindness is saying things that need to be said, even though they don't sound nice.
That's right. Yes.
I'm an administrator, and recently something came up that made me realize I want to do better at, throughout the school year, doing team building things with the staff there, just to help build and support the team, and then if complications come up, we'll have a relationship and we'll know each other's strengths and weaknesses and personalities. Do you have any advice on some team building activities or what you've done in the past? Or yeah, I need ideas on how to do that well.
Ask your chairman to take the staff fishing on his pontoon boat. No, but seriously, some things together outside, apart from school. Because, yeah, I don't know what you all would think. Maybe you would think if you stepped in the hall after school at our school and observed us, you might think that we're too cozy with each other. Not in an unholy way, but we are at our school. I am blessed to work with the staff and have been over the years, where we are friends. We are not only co-teachers, we are friends. And that has come by, and this has to be curtailed because we do have jobs to do, but after school, we'll stand in the hall and just talk. And sometimes it's about what happened today. Sometimes it's about church or whatever. We're learning to know each other as people. And then when there do come those things where we disagree or whatever, we understand each other and we know where each other's coming from. And you can do that as a board too. Whatever you like to do together, find, know each other. And if your brother's from the same church, you probably already do, but to grow that, build that teamwork so that when those difficult things come, you have a basis already to work from. Anyone else quickly? Yes?
Difficult situations. We like to give our opinion, our ideas. As you had said earlier, listen. It's very important when there's something else. Listen and ask questions. And you come approach it in that manner, you can get a whole lot better.
Yes. Some of us are more inclined to give our opinions than others. You know what kind you are.
Something I did a couple years ago, I've done it, I think, twice already. I give a questionnaire to my co-teachers, just evaluate me. How is Mr. Burkholder doing at the things that are his to do? Just personality, whatever. One of my teachers said, in the after-school discussions in the hall, you dominate. Okay. Guilty as charged. Back off, all right? Let them say their piece too. You might do that to your staff. Give them a questionnaire. How are we doing? And then take seriously what they say, because if you just slough it off, if you ever ask them that again, they're not going to answer. Right? So only do it if you really mean it. All right? It might do a wonderful thing for your relationship. Well, thank you. I hope that this workshop was a help to you. God bless you as you serve.